If 80% of our Christian, so-called born-again Christian young people do not believe Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, how might that connect? How might that relate to their belief about truth itself? Well, it's interesting. Here's the corresponding statistic to the nation as a whole. Among so-called Christian young people in this country, less than 9% of them believe in absolute truth. Less than 9% believe in absolute truth. They bought in almost lock, stock, and barrel to the secular culture, to the entire one world order culture. They have bought into multiculturalism, religious pluralism, even evolution. They bought into the whole works. And they do not believe that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. They are totally deceived. Yet we're sending them to churches and youth pastors and so on that are not giving them the straight, hard truth. They're trying to curry their favor, make them feel good and be their friend, rather than to lead them in the faith once delivered to the saints. So now the whole market, the whole idea of the market has become the master. And indeed, if in 1993 we were the generation that forgot God, just think where we are 17 years later. Americans looking for a custom-made God, one made in their own image. And now, that leads us back to our friend Glenn Beck, who I think has a lot of interesting, good things to say on his television program. I've leaned over to my wife a number of times when I've had the opportunity to watch or to listen. I said, wow, he's really doing a good job with that. So I don't want to put him down in every respect, but when he calls, it's a very confusing thing, and unless you listen very carefully and you understand the Word of God, deception is woven through everything. It's just unbelievable, and it gets more and more apparent. The pastors and Christian leaders that were standing behind Glenn Beck at the end of the rally with their arms locked together, as Brandon House said, they look silly and not at all like Christian statesmen. He said, I truly believe they sold out. I do not think even one of them realizes how compromised they are, how they compromised the true gospel of Jesus Christ and have damaged their testimony and added massively to the acceptance of pluralism and ecumenicalism or ecumenism. Whether they know it or not, those Christians that took part in these two rallies have endorsed an overwhelmingly humanistic message wrapped in patriotic and Christian terms. It was so diluted in the soup of unbiblical messages that their presence only gave credibility in the minds of non-believers and non-discerning Christians that the God talk was all good and all true. I heard him use the word repent or repentance. But never have I heard him talk about sin. Never have I heard him talk about what it is we have to repent of, other than problems with the economy. Why is it that he refuses to talk about issues like adultery, sexual sin, the murder of babies? Why wouldn't he talk about those things? They just don't fit his version, do they? Thanks for joining us. The Seduction of the Saints. Staying pure to world of deception. Get a copy of my book. Your gift of $18 or more to Save America Ministries will put it in your hands. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. Make sure you get your Jewish calendar. It begins this month, 16 months. Almost half of them are gone now. You don't want to miss out. $13 plus $5 postage and handling. Call us 1-800-SAVE-USA. And can I urge you to become a partner? Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. PO Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. The just shall live by faith.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faith.
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I want you to know that the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and well, for the next hour or 2 hours, they're going to be the views of Paul Williams, who certainly is the world's leading expert, our nation's leading expert on the terrorist movement as it exists here in this country. Paul, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Dr. Stan, it's my pleasure.
Well, why don't you just tell us a little bit of the background. How long have you been studying the terrorist movement here in the United States and writing about it?
I was working with the FBI. I was the editor of a newspaper here in northeastern Pennsylvania, and I was working with the FBI really on organized crime. This is going back into the 90s, and at that time, I became aware of really the Albanian mafia, Dr. Stan. They supplanted the Italian mafia as the number one criminal organization in the United States, the Albanians. I mean, they were really bad news. Most of the organized Italian mafia, the next generation, ascended. They became lawyers and accountants, and they got into the garbage industry, and they became quasi-respectable. But the old task of running drugs and running prostitutes and Murder Incorporated fell to the Albanians. And once again, if your listeners listen to this, this might kind of startle them, that the Albanians are worse or more notorious or more nefarious than the Italian mafia, but they're infinitely more so. And your listeners can listen to, or they can just Google up FBI reports, and they'll find out that the Albanian mafia is, in fact, the number one criminal organization in the United States as we speak. The Albanians were Muslims, and in the 1990s, when I was dealing with them, they had kind of a neat operation going on here in northeastern Pennsylvania. Here we have the largest scrap yards for cars in the country. All the wrecks, all the discarded automobiles and vans and buses end up here in northeastern Pennsylvania. We have massive junkyards. And they used to come here, and they would buy old wrecks of high-end automobiles. Mercedes and BMWs and Lexuses and even Cadillacs. They'd buy high-end wrecks, and they would steal a car of the same make somewhere on the East Coast. They would change the VIN numbers. They would repaint the car, and they would sell it as new. And I really managed to infiltrate into that business as part of the FBI. And when I was dealing with the Albanians, and this is what's interesting, these guys also dealt in guns and weaponry. And they told me that they came here, they were granted American wives, and they got their green cards that way. Most of them were from the Coney Island area, Brighton Beach, Odessa, little Odessa. And they got wives, and as soon as they were married, they were divorced, but they had their green card.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Paul Williams. Paul, you go right ahead.
Okay, so we got the Albanians coming here during the 1990s. Now, this is what's interesting. They were telling me about the type of weapons that they could sell even to me. And some of these weapons were, like, astonishing. Like, they could sell you a fully equipped, a fully automatic weapon right out of the trunk of their car. I'm talking an Uzi, AK-47, Kalashnikov rifle. They had these, and I saw them, and, you know, I even made a purchase or two, once again, while working with the feds. But they also told me this, that if they know anybody who was looking for radiological material, they also had that. Now, that was really interesting. This is going back into the 1990s. And they said that the head of the Chechen Mafia had dealings with a guy by the name of Osama bin Laden. Now, this is going back into, once again, before anyone knew about bin Laden, including myself. And they said that this guy, bin Laden, the guy that sold the weapons to bin Laden, can also sell the weapons, with similar weaponry and similar material, throughout the world. And I convey this material to the FBI, and that really led me into this field of terrorism and what the Muslims were doing and what the FBI was doing and what the CIA was doing. Once again, I was a newspaper man at that time and working with the feds. I was responsible for putting a lot of the organized crime figures here in northeastern Pennsylvania and throughout New York in the Huskow. I don't know if I'm proud of doing that, but I did that, and a lot of these people were arrested and convicted because of my testimony.
I mean, these are very vicious and dangerous people, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. As bad as they were, Dr. Stan, the Albanians were 1,000 times worse. The Albanians and the Chechens that I'm talking about, they were really, really, really cold-blooded. I mean, they would cut your heart out in a second. And once again, they were all Muslims, including the Chechens. And they came into places, like I said, in New York at that time, and they infiltrated the... they worked, as first of all, for the crime families, and then they took over the criminal operations. And as I said, they're the first ones that told me about bin Laden, and they told me about dealing in not only high-end weaponry, but we're talking about nuclear, tactical nuclear and radiological weaponry. So that was very interesting, and that's what really led me into starting to research the different terror organizations in the United States. This is long before 9/11.
All right, fine. Well, hang on there for just a moment. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Paul was talking about how his contact with the people there and the mob, specifically the Albanians and the Chechens, and they'd come into the country, they'd infiltrated the mafia, and then they'd taken over the mafia, and they became the major force here in the United States. And they would, of course, offer to sell automatic Uzi machine guns, any sort of automatic weapon you want. But one of them had actually told Paul about the fact that they could get nuclear devices, certainly various types of nuclear weapons, and they talked about a man named Osama bin Laden. Now, this was back in the early 1990s, so the first time he'd ever heard about this, and of course, he was responsible. Paul testified. A lot of these people were sent to prison. They were arrested and sent to prison. And as he said, these people would cut your heart out without even flinching at all. I mean, they're totally ruthless, no foundation at all in honor or anything, all about violence, all about making money. And most of them go to prison. Did it pretty well break up this criminal ring there?
They broke up the Italian mafia, but they didn't even make a dent in the Albanians. As a matter of fact, what I did was I traveled around quite a bit. I got an awful lot of information on the Albanians. As I said, I traveled with them, and the guys I met, and these guys I know. They came into northeastern Pennsylvania to perform a hit against the guy that ripped them off for a timeshare deal that they had cooked here with a mafioso here from northeastern Pennsylvania. But this guy ripped them off on. They were doing a lot of phone solicitations selling timeshares that were really bogus, and the Italians tried tried to rip them off, and the Albanians came in to make the hit. And they did perform acts of violence, but despite that, they were never arrested. The FBI kept, as I did so often, Dr. Stan, this is what was amazing. I used to give them all types of information, travel to all these different places, but the arrests were very few. I mean, even when they had very telltale evidence of wrongdoing, very little really happened. It only happened when, like, egregious acts occurred. And that happened now and then. And, you know, some of these clowns were arrested and convicted. But the Albanians, as far as I know, including the ones that I met and I dealt with, are very much in business right now.
Well, do you think they had anybody in government who was covering for them? Is that the reason that the FBI wouldn't move against them?
It's the darndest thing. I really never, no, like right now, I would say that, yeah, it makes no sense. Like even the leading, like there are people here that owned these vast junkyards and landfills that were so corrupt. I mean, I had all types of evidence on the owners of several of these landfills, and I mean, I had evidence compiled, and I knew what I was doing at that time. That would have put them behind bars for a good long time. They were never arrested. They're still very much still in operation as we speak. So,
well, you almost have a feeling that they may have some friends, or there may
definitely
be some specific purpose that the people very highly placed in government are allowing this crime a wave to continue. And let me just point out to our listeners, a little off the subject, but the FBI, up until the time of the Kennedy, Jack Kennedy became president, the FBI would not move against the mafia. They knew they were here, but of course they had information about on Hoover. They knew he was a transvestite, and he had a boyfriend. His name was Clyde Tyson, Tolson. And J. Edgar Hoover absolutely refused to move against the mafia, and it wasn't until the Kennedys came in and they made a big issue out of it. He was more or less forced or embarrassed to actually move against the mafia. Oh, they moved against the communists, they moved against the Black Panthers, they moved against a lot of people, but not against the mafia, not until they were forced to. And well, Jack Kennedy paid a very high price, so did Bobby Kennedy, for actually embarrassing the FBI. So you have to ask why the FBI sometimes doesn't go after these people. But I know there are an awful lot of good people in the FBI. Under any circumstances, then, of course, this introduced you to this whole terrorist movement, and so you begin to investigate the Islamic terrorist movement here in the United States?
Well, I this thing about bin Laden and with nuclear weapons, that was really the carrot that enticed me to start investigating more and more and more. And really, I was writing a book about Al-Qaeda in 2001. And that book came out, you know, really shortly after 9/11. It was the first book to come out, not on bin Laden, but on Al-Qaeda. And I wrote it then. And I had gathered in that book, it was called Al-Qaeda Brotherhood of Terror, and it was published by Penguin. But at that time, I mentioned what I'm telling you right now about the Albanians, about Osama bin Laden, about the fact that, according to Albanian testimony and Chechen testimony, this guy purchased nuclear materials, and including tactical nuclear materials from the Chechens. So I wrote about that going back into 2001. And that took me even deeper into the subject of what was going on in the United States. Dr. Stan?
What was going on in the United States at that time?
Well, I, at that time, I really was not aware of what was really taking place in Afghanistan and how bin Laden really managed to purchase these weapons and why the CIA was really not interested in talking to me and finding and talking to the Chechens and the Albanians that had given me this testimony. They, to this day, they haven't really quizzed these people. I've been very forthright with it. I reported it to the FBI going way back before 9/11. But to this and the fact that they know that I was deep cover with these people, but they have yet. CIA or anyone from the Justice Department after 9/11 has not spoken to me. And I know they have not interrogated the people that I'm speaking about right now.
Well, why do you think that the CIA is not interested in knowing about terrorism here in the United States? Because certainly they're not supposed to operate in the United States, but if we know they do, certainly from many, many sources, the CIA has people planted in the media here. The CIA certainly has people planted at every aspect of this society and has their informants here. So why weren't they interested in following through on this story of terrorism and Al-Qaeda and them purchasing nuclear weapons?
Well, I have to be kind of circuitous in my explanation of this. Well, really, I really came to realize what was going on after investigating a guy by the name of Fethullah Gulen, who is the most dangerous Muslim in the world, according to the Justice Department, according to people from the Justice Department, including the FBI. He lives in Pennsylvania, in Salisbury, Pennsylvania. He's a Turk. He set up Islamic schools throughout the world, including about 125 here in the United States that I can count. This guy, I came to realize, toppled the secular government in Turkey, and he had, according to court testimony, according to FBI testimony, when he came up for applied for permanent residency in the United States, according to court testimony, this guy had over $25 billion in assets. I mean, I was up at his place, and his fortress in Salisbury, Pennsylvania, was surrounded with a Turkish army, like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Turks who were armed. And the fact that he had so much money, I started to dig into that. And then I realized that money that he got, a lot of it, came from the drug trade in Afghanistan. And then I realized that the whole thing, the entire terrorism movement in the United States, from Osama bin Laden to Fethullah Gulen, the people they were in league with were ops from the CIA and the Justice Department.
In other words, the CIA was involved with Gulen and was involved with this whole Islamic terrorism.
And bin Laden.
Right, sure.
And bin Laden.
And you got to have an enemy if you're going to rally the people behind the government. That's the oldest trick in the world.
But here, Dr. Stan, as you know, like it's something to come up with an enemy. But here, unfortunately for us, they came up with a real enemy. I mean, they came up with people who have a long, deep-seated hatred of Western civilization and of us. I'm talking about the Muslims. They're scapegoats in this whole thing, but in a way, they're perfect scapegoats because they have this enmity toward Christianity and toward Judaism, toward us, and the fact that we have created this enemy, and it's really ironically, a spiritual enemy, is very, very frightening because these people are not going to go away. They were created, they were funded, they were armed by the CIA. They are intent upon our destruction, and even if the CIA did away with all the opium fields that they spread some type of herbicide or firebomb the poppy fields, it still wouldn't do away with the enemy that they created.
Well, of course, the thing is, this radical form of Islam really wasn't a factor until it was financed. The Muslim Brotherhood was financed by MI6 and then by the CIA. But people don't understand that by the invasion of Afghanistan, by the invasion of Iraq, there are Muslims out there, I mean, certainly not a majority, but there are certain ones who look upon this as the America is invading the Muslim world, is attacking the Muslim world, and they've joined this radical form of Islam. There may not be very many of them, but they've been radicalized, and they've been radicalized by what we did without justification. There is no justification for attacking Afghanistan. After all, 15 of the 19 hijackers came from Saudi Arabia. And Osama bin Laden had been certainly working closely with the CIA. They knew that sort of thing. They knew that the American government had been financing the Taliban, the major source of funding for the Taliban, there right up until almost the day that we attacked the Taliban. So none of this really makes sense unless there's another agenda. Well, Paul, you go right ahead, and suddenly then, of course, you begin looking into this terrorist movement here in the United States. And really, of course, there are lots of branches of this thing, certainly, but why don't you go into it? You talked in the past.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Lives in Pennsylvania. Of course, he's lauded and applauded by the leaders of this country. Well, here's a man who is responsible for radicalizing the Muslims and wants to reinstitute the Ottoman Empire. Wants, of course, all the countries of the Middle East to come back under Turkish influence. And, of course, Mr. Gulen apparently according to Paul, has been responsible for the radicalization of Turkey. Now, as you know, Turkey was a secular country aligned with the United States, aligned with Israel, and that's all changed in the last couple of months. Now, Turkey, of course, is becoming radicalized. They have broken their relationship with Israel. Several of these ships that have been trying to break the blockade of Gaza have been Turkish ships, and what we're actually seeing now is that Turkey is realigning itself with Iran and with this whole world radical Islamic movement. And according to Paul, why through the CIA, Gulen is actually financing these radical Islamic schools all throughout the Middle East, and that's the Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, and you can just go right down the list of all these countries. But what they're doing is radicalizing them with the idea that they will begin to realign with Turkey, because at one time they were part of the Ottoman Empire, which is dissolved during the First World War, and now we want to reinstitute that, but we can't reinstitute it, so we're using a proxy, this man named Gulen. And of course, a lot of the money comes from the drugs. The CIA controls the drugs in Afghanistan. And if you want to check that out, go up on the Internet and type in CIA and drugs. You'll see hundreds of articles. The CIA is the largest purveyor of drugs in the world, but we can't let the American people know that. We've got a war on drugs, don't we? Well, if we've got a war on drugs, we're not doing very well. Paul, pick up the story.
Well, the drugs come into this country, according to Sybil Edmonds, who is an FBI translator. She provided testimony in court that the drug money is not only channeled to Gulen, but it comes into the United States on U.S. Military planes. And the military planes arrive in New York and Chicago, Paterson, New Jersey, and the drugs are, of course, disseminated from there throughout the country. So the fact that so many of our young people right now are addicted is really the fault of our own government. And it's just an incredible situation. But, I mean, nobody can dispute it. I mean, this testimony all came out in court. You got a guy in Pennsylvania who's a Turk, who toppled the Turkish government. He formed the Justice and Democratic Party in Turkey, which is the ruling party of Turkey right now. He controls the government. That government became Islamic. That government formed an alliance, as you said, with Iran. That government has formed an alliance, strange to say, with Saudi Arabia. And that government is determined to establish this new Islamic world order, which they will do. And it's all thanks to really the CIA. But you got to realize that Gulen in the United States also has over 100 schools, and they too, you know, are really a threat to our, you know, the Western civilization and our Judeo-Christian values. And
now, basically, they are then teaching this radical Islamic belief to the Muslim youth right here in the United States.
They do it in a nefarious way. They'll say that they're celebrating Turkish culture and Turkish heritage. The only language taught at the Gulen schools, and they're all charter schools throughout the United States, besides English, is Turkish. They say that the Armenian Holocaust never occurred. They rewrite everything about the Ottomans, so the kids who go through these schools believe that that was the golden age of world history, and that Islam is the religion of the one and only true Allah. And they're brainwashed. And at the end of it, this came out. Russia, by the way, outlawed all the Gulen schools. They said that these places are nefarious. They're fronts for the FBI. They were also outlawed, strange to say, in the Netherlands. They realize the nefarious purpose of these schools, but they're still very much here. As a matter of fact, they're doubling every year or so.
And of course, aren't these largely funded by our own government?
Funded by us,
right?
funded by us.
And the
right?
thing is that the average American has never heard of this. Fortunately, you have the internet, ladies and gentlemen. You can go up and simply type in Gulen or type in Paul Williams. You get a lot of this material up on the internet, which you'll never hear from the controlled medium. And there's a reason. They don't want you to hear it. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Paul Williams, and of course you're hearing a lot of things this evening that you're not going to hear through the regular media, and the reason is because they don't want you to know. But go right ahead, Paul.
Well, regarding Gulen, this is also interesting. He applied for permanent residency, and strange to say, some people in the Justice Department said this guy should be kicked out of the country. This guy has toppled the secular government in Turkey. This guy is political. This guy is a radical Islamist. This guy should not be sheltered here. But there were 27 people who gave testimony in favor of Gulen and saying what a wonderful educator he was, despite the fact that he doesn't have a third-grade education, can't speak a word of English. But they testified saying that we have to keep him here in the country. We've got to shelter him. We've got to protect him because he honors us with his presence. And of the 27, the vast majority were CIA operatives, including Graham Fuller.
So the CIA wanted to keep him here so he can continue undermining our Turkey and continue undermining the governments there in the Middle East. But he's even undermining our own government by putting together these schools, which are financed by our own government, which, of course, are teaching the radical Islamic beliefs. And, Chris, what we need is a unified country, not a divided country. What we need are people with a common language, a common culture, common beliefs. We don't all have to be Christians. It would be nice if we were, but well, why would you want to bring in people with foreign religions who would be dedicated to support a foreign nation, and especially if we get into a war with the Muslim world, which I fear is coming down the line? This is totally divisive, and yet, of course, this is the pattern we've seen, and those of you who haven't read a wonderful book entitled The Devil's Game by Robert Dreyfus, we recommend it. We do have that, and we even have some of Paul's books we've carried here in the past, and I'm sure we have them in stock. What books have you written, Paul?
Well, gosh, Dr. Stan, I've written about 20, but in the last, the ones that were most widely circulated, go back to Al-Qaeda, Brotherhood of Terror that I mentioned. After that, Osama's Revenge, the next 9/11, the Al-Qaeda connection.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Paul Williams. Before we go on, Paul, I want you to go ahead and get your telephone number out. Do you have a website? Where can people check some of the things that you're talking about?
Do you know what? I write periodically for Family Security Matters, and I had a website that I was running for the last few years, but I'm getting tired of doing that, Dr. Stan, so I don't know, that's called thelastcrusade.org, and people can get a lot of information there, but I don't know how long I'm going to keep that up.
All right, so if you're going to go up there, well, you better pull down the articles. They may not be there a great deal longer, but you can certainly go on the internet and put in Paul Williams and terrorism and Gulen. He's written a number of articles on Gulen, which are up on the internet, so you can check this information out.
Oh, yeah, they've been picked up by everybody. There's so many, generally when I write an article, it just doesn't appear on my website. It goes really kind of ballistic. So, yeah, the people can read all about Gulen. They can read about Gulen from other writers as well. But he is a very, very, very intriguing case.
All right, but now there are other terrorist organizations in the United States that seem to be tied into the Imams that are being sent over here from Saudi Arabia to recruit people into this radical Islamic form of movement. So what about them? How does this tie into the jail system? And is this really a threat to us?
Well, that's another incredible story. It goes back to about 1978, when the Saudis began sending missionaries to Tablighi. That's what they're Tablighi, that form of Islam, missionaries, and they were supposed to be Sufis who were peaceful, but they're the farthest thing from it. People like Sheikh Jilani, G-I-L-A-N-I, that they were sending them throughout the country. Jilani ended up in Brooklyn, and he started to really organize Islamic or black Muslim street gangs in Brooklyn, including a group known as the Dar al-Ul Islam. And they were the baddest kids in Bedford-Stuyvesant in the 70s and the 80s. I mean, they were really bad. Murders, every type of drug dealing, every type of shenanigans that you can think of, they were in the thick of it. And the other street gangs were terrified of them. They wore Islamic garbs. They had multiple wives. They were very violent. They were all African-American. But he organized them. And he brought them into his own mosque in Brooklyn. And at that time, other mosques in Brooklyn started to pop up that were as radical as his. His was called Yassin, Y-A-S-I-N, Majid Hassin. But at the same time, in Bedford-Stuyvesant, another mosque popped up that cooperated with him called Majid al-Taqwa. That was under Siraj Wahaj. And even a third mosque in Brooklyn called Majid al-Fukra. That in recent years has siphoned more than $24 million to Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. But going back to Jilani, Jilani started to organize these black Muslim gangs. And once again, they were very violent. A lot of these guys ended up in prison, especially prison in New York State, since they were committing their crimes in Brooklyn. And Jilani managed to set up the first mosque in a penitentiary. He set that up in a penitentiary in Upper New York State, and it was that mosque. It was completely funded by us, and it was right on state property, and allowed to function. And when the people got out of prison, Jilani thought it would be a good idea to send them to a place where they could be even more militarized, and that where they could be of use in a war that had just broken out in Afghanistan against the Soviet Union, where the Mujahideen was fighting with the Soviets. So he started to train people for the Great Jihad in Afghanistan in 1979, and from that time till now. And the first camp that he set up was called Islamburg. It's between Deposit and Hancock, New York. And I've been there many times. And what happened was the people would, the former inmates, the felons, and the would go right from prison. They'd get their suit of clothes and $10 and farm in Oklahoma. They just sprouted up all over the place, and they all serve the same purpose. And Jelani managed to send hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of African American Muslims to Afghanistan to fight the Soviets. Several of them returned and became really kind of illustrious in the Islamic community. A guy, for instance, by the name of Rodney Hampton L. Became really a very famous celebrity in the Islamic community around New York. And this guy also became the chief planner in the bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993. A lot of the other Muslims who were trained in Afghanistan took part in that plot with him. Many of them were from the Farouk Mosque. As a matter of fact, at the Farouk Mosque in Brooklyn, they planned under a blind Sheikh Rahman. They planned that attack, and they also executed the hit on Meir Kahane, the Jewish rabbi who was speaking out against Islam at that time in 1989. But Jelani, with his training camps, I mean, all this has gone on and on. After the war ended in Afghanistan in 1989, he still continued to train jihadis, train black Muslims for the jihad. That has gone on, and it continues to go on to this day. The people that he trains, Jelani, right now go to Pakistan, all of them, the good ones, the ones who are trained as soldiers, and that's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. Every year, they're paid, they're trained, then they're paid to go to Pakistan. In Pakistan, they start to form associations with Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups, and then they go into Afghanistan to fight with the Taliban. So many of the people who are killing our troops in Afghanistan right now are trained on American soil under the noses of the FBI.
But they have to be financed, Sidney, by the CIA or by somebody else. Somebody's putting up the money. You don't have these big camps all over this country with automatic weapons where you're training felons, because felons are not supposed to have a weapon, and yet these people are felons. They're being trained here. They're being sent to Pakistan, Afghanistan, and then they come back here, don't they?
They come back here. As a matter of fact, when I first went to I visited quite a few of them. But when I first went to Islamburg, the wives of most of the jihadis who were trained there, the black Muslims who were trained there for the jihad, were African Americans. A lot of them were from the inner cities, and they were, of course, they were all the women are in full burqas. Later, in more recent years, when I visited these camps, I found out that a lot of the women there are Pakistanis. And that's interesting. That is really interesting. So it shows that they're going to Pakistan. They're bringing back wives.
How do they finance this whole situation here in the United States? You can't have these enclaves. Certainly, they've got to have some source of funding. Do we have any idea where the funding has come from? We can surmise maybe it's been subsidized by certain government agencies, but is there any proof of that, or is there any way to know where the money is coming from? Because that's the big, most important question.
Dr. Stan, that's why I began with Gulen. Gulen, there's nobody can... The court testimony's there. And that if anyone ever doubts the idea of the CIA's involvement in global politics, that just look at the court records. There.
How can people actually get those court records? Do you have them? Are they available? Are they
available? They're available on the internet.
Okay.
Anyone can read them. They're fascinating, and they went on for days and days and days. And the FBI is providing all this testimony. This guy has so much money, and where the money's coming from. But regarding Jelani and Islamburg and these other camps that are throughout the country, several of the FBI has, because of constant complaints from residents or people who live around. they know what these people are up to, but they've never taken the second step of shutting these places down. That's the amazing thing.
Sure.
They know what's going on.
They know what's going on. The trouble is the average American doesn't. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Paul, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Paul is on the front lines. He's probably the country's leading expert on these Muslim terrorist training camps in America. And there's certainly, about 60 of them anyway?
Oh, at least. You see what happens, Dr. Stanton? This is what, let me tell you. Can I tell you a funny story?
Sure you can.
Okay. I was in Falls Church, Virginia. And that's a very rural community, not too far from Appomattox. And but once again, there's nothing there. And all these training camps look like trailer parks. And I the one in Falls Church was incredible. At the entranceway was a very old woman in a burqa. And when I tell you it was 110 that day, I'm not exaggerating. It was the hottest day I can remember. She's there in a full burqa, and she's elderly. And she looked like a weazened old crony. And she said, "No, nobody here. Don't bother coming in. Nobody here. Everybody leave. All men gone. They all gone. So I was walking around the different trailers and shacks there, knocking on the doors, and I noticed that, you know, some of the shades were moving. And so I was with a couple people. I decided to stick around there. Well, there was a shed behind one of the houses that looked like an outhouse. And from that shed, eventually, after I was there for a couple hours, two or three Muslims came from this very tiny shed. And I couldn't believe my eyes. And, you know, I mean, what were three people doing in an outhouse? And then I blinked my eyes again, and maybe a dozen more came out of the outhouse. Then I blinked my eyes again, there might have been 50 or 60 coming out of the outhouse. And they all started to surround me, which shows that everything that was taking place there was taking place underground. They do have underground bunkers at all these places. And then from the woods, they all started to descend. And I'm telling you, I was surrounded with hundreds of them in no time at all. But, I mean, these people are very menacing. I could have been definitely killed that day, and my body could have been thrown someplace, and nobody would have ever found me. Because I know, and I've been in these camps enough to see, and I photographed this, there are graveyards, unmarked graveyards, and there are bodies planted there. But,
Well, I'm glad the Lord was looking after you and you got away from there.
He was.
All right, let's go to John, who's calling us from Spokane. Hi, John. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I do. It seems like when you listen to certain conservative talk radio shows, they're whipping up a fight between the middle-class white Americans and the Muslims. And I'm wondering if you think this whole thing is orchestrated where they're funding these shows to do this, and then they're funding the what you're talking about. And then, because I hear about the new formulated Black Panthers and what they're doing there, and then also what's going on down at the border and in Southern California. What's your take on creating like civil war here in the United States with regards to all that?
I think that I could be dead wrong on this, and I only know, you know, what I am able to empirically verify, what I've seen, what I have touched, you know, what my senses have experienced. But I would say that the CIA, this is my take on it, certainly created this problem. But I do believe they created something that is far beyond anything they thought they were going to create. I don't know what went on. I don't know anything about 9/11. I mean, I have a lot of questions there. But I do know that the Islamic problem is growing every day. And the spiritual war we are going to have, the Armageddon, will be with Islam.
And basically, I think, John, your point is probably well taken. I think they're financing both sides. They want this a conflict within our society. I think that they want to turn the black against the white, the Christian against the Muslim, the Hispanic against the Anglo. That's how you control, divide and conquer. And it's not elsewhere, it's right here in America. Thanks very much for your call, John. I think your point's well made. Anything else you want to ask?
No, thank you very much.
God bless, and we'll be back in just a moment here. And fortunately, listen on the internet. We'll be here the next hour as well. Well, we've got Jeff calling from Hermiston, Oregon. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Doing just fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Well, I just wanted to know...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com.
Shot from about 1988 up to 1994. About all the terrorist trading camps, you'll see the places where they're trading with their automatic weapons. Many of the people in this film were involved in the initial bombing on the World Trade Center in 1993. This video was put out with a lot of help and a lot of footage from the FBI. Was shown one time in America and then totally banned. It was never seen again until after the attack in September of 2001. And I had a great deal of difficulty getting copies of this, but we do have copies of it called Jihad in America. You'll see the Islamic training camps. They knew they were there. They knew they were there in 1989, they knew they were there in 1990, and 1991, and 1992, and 1993, and 1994, and they didn't shut them down, and they haven't shut them down, and they're operating today. And the fact that most people don't know about this simply reflects the degree of control that exists today. over what the American people think. Now, let me simply point out that we do have this video. It's called Jihad in America. It's available by calling Radio Liberty. That's calling us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We think it's an excellent source of information. And then, Paul, how can people get your books?
Oh, I can get my books anywhere. You know, in Borders, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, they're all over the place. So I don't think they have much of a problem with that. But one thing I want to say is Jelani's organization is known as Jamaat al-Fukra, which means the community of the impoverished. And they have been responsible for more terror attacks on American soil, about 35, than any other terrorist group, including al-Qaeda and Hezbollah. And members of that group, of Jamaat al-Fukra, people who have been trained at these training camps, include Clement Rodney Hampton Owl, I mentioned it before, Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, John Allen Muhammad, the Beltway sniper. I mean, the FBI, their graduates are, you know, are incredible when you see who went through these camps and who received the training, but once again, they're still very much in operation.
Well, basically, we actually carry the Al-Qaeda connection. I knew we'd carry some of Paul's books. We actually have the Al-Qaeda connection in stock at the present time. We also, of course, have the DVD, I should say the video, the Jihad in America. Well, Sydney, we hope if you're out there listening on this, how do you begin to put all of this together? So much of it doesn't make sense. Unless perhaps you read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which begins to take you behind the scenes into the spiritual component of what's really going on. And, of course, we are seeing this effort to turn Americans against the Muslims and the Muslims against the people in the West. I think we're being manipulated very cleverly, very subtly into a war with the Muslim world, which is the last thing we want. A clash of civilizations will destroy Muslim civilization, but it could also destroy Western civilization. And people really have no idea what's going on because, of course, they're never going to hear many of the things we're talking about tonight openly discussed. You need to get Sidney Paul Williams, The Al-Qaeda Connection, the video, Jihad in America, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. That'll be enough to get you started to begin to understand that there are forces working behind the scenes that are not readily apparent to the average individual. So I remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Paul, of course, is going to be a speaker at our conference here on the 17th of October, and so we hope you want to come. Remember, we're serving lunch, so you're going to have reservations. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, and then I will be speaking on the 18th of September in the Santa Rosa area. If you live in that area, you'd like to know more, why, of course, give us a call at the same number, 1-800-544-8927. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. was the battle for survival of Western civilization. It's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. Now, our guest this evening, Paul Williams. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have a question or comment. But right now, we have it with us, Jimmy, who's calling from Florida. Hi, Jimmy. What part of Florida are you calling from?
Jacksonville, Dr. Stan.
Okay, fine. Well, do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I was going to ask you and Paul, have you ever seen the Kay Griggs DVD?
Kay Griggs? No.
Kay Griggs. She lived in the White House with Sarah McClendon.
Yeah, I've talked to Sarah, to Kay a couple of times, and certainly she's a very interesting individual. And certainly, of course, I talked to Sarah McClendon before she passed away. But I've never seen her DVD, but I know who you're speaking of. Her husband was a high-ranking military officer. I think he was a colonel in the Special Forces.
No, he was a colonel for NATO. He was in charge of psychological warfare. And she sits there. This is an uncut DVD. And she names names. And the military, a fraction of the military in the State Department, led in black market weapons for years and years.
Well, I'm not surprised at all. But anyway, I appreciate so much your mentioning it. That's Kay Griggs, and she's a very gutsy lady. You're absolutely right. Thanks very much, Jimmy. And certainly, telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. But that's sort of getting a little off subject for this evening. Well, Paul, basically, as you talk to people across the country, and I know you've talked to groups about this, what sort of response do you get? Is it sort of people pretty incredulous? They just can't believe this is going on?
They have to believe it. You know, usually when I speak, if people say something without seeing pictures right now, it's hard for them to believe it. But, you know, I've been there. I've been in so many of these camps, and I didn't go in single hand. I didn't go out alone. I mean, I went with a group of people, including even medical doctors and private investigator, licensed private detectives, and former members of Mossad. And we've taken, you know, a lot of pictures, and so we have the evidence of what really takes place. So when people see that at different meetings and in symposiums and gatherings, you know, yeah. As a matter of fact, some people that I've spoken to, were very familiar with it. You know, they had relatives who lived near camps, and they were aware of the situation. So very few people, after you present them with the facts, are skeptical. They know what's going on. But the point is, what do they do? I don't think they do much, Dr. Stan.
Well, the thing is that what we need to do is get people to understand that America is under attack today, and we're not being attacked by Osama bin Laden or by the communists in Russia or in China. We're being attacked by people in this country who are allowing these things intentionally and concealing this information from the majority of the American people. Now, are you going to bring pictures, actually? Are you going to have a slide presentation or PowerPoint presentation when you come?
I certainly intend to.
All right, fine. We have a PowerPoint projector, so we'll have it all hooked up for you. Will you be bringing a laptop computer? Do you want us to have one for you?
I'd like you to have one there because I want to travel light.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, that Paul's going to be our guest on the 17th of October, and I hope you're going to be here. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And we've got Paul calling from Cincinnati. It's late back there, Paul, but I'm glad you could come. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I'd like to ask him what he believes the status of Osama bin Laden is right now.
Well, do you have any thoughts at all on Osama bin Laden? As some people say he's dead, some people say he's alive. Do you have any thoughts at all, Paul?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on that. I know right after Tora Bora, I visited...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. Go right ahead, Paul.
Okay. This is interesting. I attended after Tora Bora. We're talking about December 2001. The following September, there was a convention of the Soldiers of Fortune in Las Vegas. And at the convention, they had, I think you guys probably know who would go to these places. they're by and large mercenaries. Most of them are from South Africa, a lot of Israelis, but they were mercs. And I talked at length to them, and they all knew at that time where Osama bin Laden was. Some of them even provided evidence where it was. The CIA and the Defense Department could have taken him out very easily at that time. He was in a place called Dar in by the Khyber Pass, in the same place where Winston Churchill was sold up when he was engaged in Afghanistan. But he remained there for quite a few years, and he was traveling back and forth to Afghanistan. And then more recently, his son and members of the Taliban have been sequestered in Iran. And according to the latest news that I'm getting, that's where he is.
All right, so you feel that Osama bin Laden is actually living in Iran today? The stories we hear about him suddenly needing kidney dialysis, is this really true? Because it'd be very, very difficult to stay healthy over a 10-year period if you needed dialysis.
Very interesting situation. Is he really, does he really, was he killed in Tora Bora? I don't know. Is this whole thing kind of an incredible charade? I really don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if it were. But according to the mercenaries, that they said that after Tora Bora, he traveled through a mountainous pass into the northwest frontier of Pakistan, and that's where he was holed up. And they showed me things written in Urdu and Pashtun, and they all alluded to the fact that that's where he was.
And they could have taken him out at any time, but of course our government was not really anxious to get rid of Osama bin Laden, because if you got rid of him, how would you justify the war in Afghanistan? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is Paul Williams. And we had Sam calling from Cincinnati with a question. What about Osama bin Laden? Is he living or dead? Well, our telephone number, if you have a question, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And Paul was just saying that shortly after the 911 attack, he actually attended a meeting that was held where there were mercenaries from all over the world, from Israel, from South Africa, professional mercenary soldiers. And they told him at that time that this was, about a year after the September 11th attack?
Just about a year. Yeah.
And he said, of course, everybody knew where Osama bin Laden was. He was living in a place called Dart, apparently over by the Khyber Pass, which, of course, would be in Pakistan, and that he would go back and forth on occasion into Afghanistan. Subsequently, many people think that he's living in Iran. Maybe he's not living at all. We don't know. I mean, a lot of disinformation is put out, but certainly Paul had talked to mercenaries who had no reason to deceive him, and at least as of a year after the 9/11 attack, he was certainly living in Dar. And, of course, it would be very easy to take him out. The mercenaries said that, but it was very obvious the American government did not want to get Osama bin Laden, contrary to what George W. Bush was telling us. I promised to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive. They weren't trying to get Osama, because basically, ladies and gentlemen, if they got Osama bin Laden, how could we justify continuing this war? We need an enemy to rally the people against, and it's the oldest trick in the world. You go back and read what Machiavelli wrote in the Prince about the importance of having an enemy, and ladies and gentlemen, go read 1984. And it's like deja vu all over again.
Yeah.
Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our guest is Paul Williams, who certainly is the person who's studied these Islamic terrorist training camps here in the United States better than anyone. And these people are taken from here to Pakistan, where they, of course, are trained in military structure, how to fight, and then I suppose they're trained in explosives and building the roadside devices and all of these other things which are so dangerous. Do you think at one point, perhaps, these people will be turned loose here in America if we ever go to war with the Islamic world? Do you think there'll be a terrorist attack here in the United States?
I think that we're looking at a terrorist attack that'll be a nightmare beyond belief. And I think it's going to occur in the very near future. And the reason that I say this is that I began tonight's conversation talking about the Albanians and Chechens and the testimony they gave me that bin Laden had nuclear materials and fully assembled a nuclear weaponry, including radiological devices, dirty nukes. And this was verified to me not only by Hamid Mir, and Hamid Mir also told me about Dar, where bin Laden was, and Hamid Mir was the only journalist to interview bin Laden in the wake of 9/11. So he was a very reputable source. But, you know, I spent quite a lot of time with Hamid Mir, and I got a lot of information from him. But also, the fact that this is interesting, and this has been really played down. When our troops during this Operation Enduring Freedom began to comb the caves around Tora Bora and Kandahar, they found several canisters of uranium-238, and they also found in a place called Turpak Farm, right in Kandahar, hundreds of jars of yellow cake. And also canisters of uranium-238.
But, you know, 238 is what we use depleted uranium weapons, you know. Certainly is radioactive,
right.
But that's what we're, you know, certainly contaminating all of Afghanistan and all of, certainly, Iraq with, is the uranium-238, which we put onto the heads of our missiles.
Right, and another thing that was really interesting, and anyone can verify this. This was in every Israeli newspaper. It was covered by United Press International. When it appeared in every newspaper throughout the world, and it was verified later. Going back to September 11th, 2002, exactly 1 year later. Do you have time for a story?
We have all the time in the world. Fortunately, okay. We don't have anybody telling us to what to do. So if you've got a story, I'm all ears, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. Again, once again, though, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and you go right ahead with the story.
Okay. Well, I said that there's evidence that these people did obtain nuclear and radiological material. Very interesting thing happened on September 11th, 2002. There's a bridge going from Jordan to Israel.
That's the Allenby Bridge.
Exactly.
Right, go ahead.
At the checkpoint at Ramallah. Well, crossing the Allenby Bridge, as you know, Dr. Stan, that most of the people are, you know, traveling it on foot. There are vehicles. The security there is adequate. It's not great, but it's adequate. But going across the Allenby Bridge on this day was a Volkswagen bus, an old Volkswagen bus. And the guy driving the bus was bleeding from his nostrils, and his fingernails were turning purple. And he did not look good. He was very sick. And they stopped him at the checkpoint. And in the back of that, he was an Al-Qaeda agent. And in the back of that Volkswagen bus, they found an assembled plutonium bomb. Everybody should know this story. This story should be front page news every day. They found the guy died of radiological poisoning a couple days. 1 year after 9/11 into Israel. Now, according to Mir and according to the testimony that I've received from numerous people, similar weaponry has been forward deployed to the United States, including tactical nuclear devices that are set to be detonated. And I do believe that's going to happen.
Well, that's a sort of a frightening thing to contemplate, but I wouldn't be at all surprised. I certainly would remember reading of things that were coming out in the early 1990s, talking about how the Iranians had already purchased a couple of nuclear, you know, small atom bombs, but at least they had them at that time. And certainly what's happened to them since then, we have no idea, but certainly there'd be no reason why they couldn't be deployed here in the United States. Certainly, we have intentionally kept our southern border open. We have intentionally blocked any efforts for a civilian defense or anything to protect our people. Our people are not certainly prepared for any sort of a crisis. It would be very easy to actually plunge the United States back to the Stone Age simply by knocking out all of our electrical devices. It would be very economically feasible for a few billion dollars to upgrade all of our grids so that they could not be simply actually neutralized with an electromagnetic impulse, you know, the EMP force, electromagnetic pulse. By detonation of a nuclear weapon in the stratosphere, and the Senate has steadfastly refused to put out a couple of billion dollars to protect this country, to keep it from being plunged into the Stone Age. And you have to ask yourself, why haven't we protected us from the electromagnetic pulse? Why haven't we closed our border? Why haven't they closed down these Islamic training camps that Paul has described all across our country? And when you try to come up with an answer, it's not a very pleasant one. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. So I share your concern, Paul. I think that we're going to be having an attack. I don't know when it's coming, but I think that people should be preparing themselves for very difficult times.
You know, one thing, Dr. Stan, the you know, as a doctor, that it is, people talk about, by the way, like, regarding what I'm saying about a nuclear attack, everyone that looked into it said it's going to happen very soon. Graham Allison from the Balfour Institute at Harvard University is the foremost authority on nuclear terrorism. He said it's going to happen in the very near future. Bill Keller from the New York Times, the editor of the New York Times, looked into the situation of nuclear terrorism and the nuclear capability of some of these Islamic groups, and he said the only reason to think it's not going to happen is it hasn't happened yet, and that's terrible logic. And I agree with him. It is terrible logic. It will happen.
And the thing is that the American people are not prepared. Certainly the vast majority of people would survive a nuclear attack. It certainly would not be on the entire nation. It would be one or two major nations. It would cause tremendous, problems as far as the structure of our society is concerned. You hit New York, knock out the major banks there, knock out the stock exchange, you'd certainly destroy or seriously damage the financial center of the entire world. But if the people were prepared, they would survive. The thing is that everything has been to discourage this. At one time, we had an excellent civil defense system here in America. We had about 400 mobile surgical hospitals. They've all been disbanded. We used to have civil defense officials in every community. We no longer have them. We used to have massive supplies of food so that whatever happened, we would have a 3-year supply of food. That's the law of the land. But the officials at the top refuse to obey the laws of our land. We have to ask ourselves, why? None of these things make sense unless there's another agenda. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. What do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Would like your thoughts. Well, Paul, certainly I share your concern.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
In these times of falling values, high unemployment, loss of income, and with hyperinflation on its way, we have created a one-ounce silver coin with a cross and the words of John 3:16 on one side and the American Eagle on the other. These coins are mural finished, 0.999 silver. Each of these beautiful coins will always have an earthly store of value plus the cross with John 3:16 as an eternal value. Go to www.john316coin.com and call 1-877-316-COIN while supplies last. Order these beautiful 1-ounce John 3:16 American Eagle coins today by going to john316coin.com and calling 1-877-316-COIN.
Washington Post came out maybe a decade ago and was pointing out that the USAID, the U.S. Agency for International Development, had actually invested $51 million on Islamic textbooks that were to be used in the madras schools. These textbooks were pushing this radical form of Islam. And, of course, why would anybody want to do that? Well, you have to understand, we have created the best enemy money could buy. Let's go to Tony, who's calling us from Aptos, California. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Good evening. I don't know if you've talked to the subject. I just tuned in. But I was curious. I have this funny feeling in the pit of my stomach that when elections roll around, somehow the president's going to find a way to cancel them. Is there any hint of that, or you guys get any wind of that? It's just a hunch on my part. I hope it's not correct, but I just think this president is going down a direction where he doesn't really care about Congress in any way, shape, or form, or whatever happens to him, as long as his agenda is accomplished.
Well, Paul, do you have any thoughts on Tony? Did you hear Tony's question?
I did.
Okay,
I did.
What, do you have any thoughts?
I am over the air.
Go ahead, Paul.
Tony, that is beyond me. I really don't know. I don't know what's in the mind of Barack Obama, and you know, I couldn't even guess.
Well, Tony, I'll give you my thought, and I think that you don't have to worry about the election because, of course, the elections don't make that much difference. So they are putting the money out to buy the Senate, enough Senate seats, enough Congress seats, so that they will continue to be in control. Now, certainly, the Republicans might even seize take the House and take the Senate, but that's not going to matter because they control both political parties. They control the leaders of both political parties. Certainly, Newt Gingrich, Sarah Palin are on their payroll. I think Sarah may have been a very nice lady initially, but after you've taken 12 or 15 or $20 million from them, why, your soul is no longer your own. And Sarah's getting $50,000 to $100,000 for a lot of the talks she's given. Even here in the state of California, I think that she spoke at one of the colleges, and I've forgotten whether it was $25,000 or $75,000. Why would a state college give Sarah Palin a large sum of money to come to talk? This is how you pay people off. And basically, the elections, I think, are going to be held, but I think it's not going to make that much difference. And I would simply say to our listeners, do not get swept up in what's going on. Everybody wants to point to Barack Obama. They're going to say, this guy's a socialist. This guy's a communist. This guy's a Muslim. This guy wasn't born in the United States. He isn't eligible to be president. Obama is gay. And all of these are distractions. Obama is simply a puppet for the people who control him. And until you understand that, you're going to be simply misled. All of this is propaganda. The latest issue of Newsweek magazine comes out, and on the front of it, it says Obama, socialist, communist, not legally an American citizen, all the things I just said. And then, of course, it goes on to tell you what a great guy Obama is. Obama is simply a front for the power elite. And once you understand that, you understand that the fraudulent nature of what's going on. Not to say you shouldn't vote, or you should vote for, try to take good people into your city councils and your board of supervisors, and get as many good people as you can elected, and get the best people you can. Sometimes you vote for people who aren't going to win because you want to actually cast a principled ballot. I think that's what I'm going to do for the governor of the state of California. I'm not going to vote for either major party because I think that both of them are under the same control. But certainly right now, I think it's important that people are involved, but your job is to educate others out there. Get them to listen to programs like this. Get them to come to hear Paul Williams when he is our guest here on the 17th of October. Learn about what's going on. Convince others about what's going on. And that is how we're going to be effective. So basically, our guest is Paul Williams, and we're talking about what's going on. Paul, we've got about 30 seconds before we go to the break. What are your thoughts in response to what I was saying?
Well, I agree with you. I am 66. I haven't seen a change in national or international policy in my lifetime.
It's all going in the same direction. The real objective is a one-world government and the destruction of Christianity. That's what it's about. When you understand it, it all begins to make sense. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call. We'd love to hear what you have, your questions, your comments. Grateful for a land so fair. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Again, our guest is Paul Williams, and we're talking about what's really going on in the world. The information you're not getting elsewhere, but Paul was just saying that he has a feeling, and it's only a feeling, but it's certainly based upon his talks and his discussions with other knowledgeable people, and certainly some of the people who certainly are experts in the field of nuclear warfare. I have this same feeling that something big is going to happen here, and that is really going to totally disrupt our society, and certainly we're as fragile as we are right now. They keep telling us we have a recovery, economic recovery. I really don't believe that. My concern is that that anything of this sort, whether it be anything that disrupts our society right now, which really plunges us into a real economic downturn. What are your thoughts, Paul?
I agree with anyone that looked into this, anyone that does look into this, will concur that it's foolish, especially after what. Our troops discovered in Afghanistan, when they're finding radiological material there. Anybody is foolish who thinks that something really mind-boggling is not going to take place here, because it is going to take place here. People have to know how very easy it is to construct a radiological device. I'm not talking about a tactical nuclear weapon. I'm talking about a radiological device.
You're talking about a dirty... But hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Paul Williams. Man, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Paul Williams. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Paul was just talking about how relatively easy it is to develop some sort of a radioactive device. And now he's not talking about a tactical nuclear weapon, but go right ahead with your thought there, Paul.
Well, all you need to do is get a hold of like something from a meatpacking plant or from a hospital, a substance like cesium, for instance. 1 grain of cesium is a bone sucker. It'll go right to your bone marrow. You know this, Dr. Stan. I mean, you're not going to. It is going to turn your insides into mush. Just one small grain of it. If something like cesium just gets on a building, you can't remove it. You can't wash it off. You can't rub it off. You can't take a chemical and dissolve it. What you have to do is you have to dismantle the building and dispose of the remains of the building in a dedicated landfill. If it even lands on any shrubs or any greenery, you have to dig it all up and once again take it to a dedicated landfill. If you're just exposed to a little bit of it, you're going to end up like Nalivenko in Russia, the guy that died of radiological poisoning. It's a horrible death. But these substances, once again, the government is telling you, oh, well, a radiological bomb is no big thing. It might be for a vast majority of the American people even worse than a tactical nuke. Because a tactical nuke will definitely do away with you. I mean, you will dissolve because that will generate heat that's beyond anything imaginable. I mean, you'll dissolve. But a radiological device, if you're exposed to any of this material, you will have a horrible death. And if it occurred in downtown Manhattan, you can just imagine the buildings that would have to be demolished and removed, and the amount that the health problems that would be generated from that. And once again, I could even do that. And you don't need to do that with a high-end explosive. You could do that with a firecracker. I mean, it is so easy to do. And the fact that it hasn't happened yet is amazing. Amazing.
Well, it was really very interesting. People talk about Chernobyl. But people don't understand that Chernobyl was not a nuclear explosion. Chernobyl was basically, in essence, a dirty bomb, and acted like a dirty bomb. What happened, of course, they had, the Russians built, a nuclear power plant. They did not have a containment dome. Every nuclear power plant in the United States, you see this big dome, and that's, of course, where they have the radioactive material, and the dome is to contain it. So what did the Russians do? Why, they had a tar and gravel roof. Now, ordinarily, in American power plants, we build them close to water, and we use water to close to cool the fuel rods. What did the Russians do? Why, they used graphite to cool the fuel rods, and then plunge them down the graphite. Well, basically, the whole idea of a nuclear power plant is it works by creating steam. So what happened? The things got out of line. They had a steam explosion, and the steam explosion blew the roof off the building and blew all this radioactive graphite out. And that's what Chernobyl was. It was just like a dirty bomb. It was radioactive graphite that it had been contaminated by actually cooling the fuel rods. And it was the steam that blew it the top off. People don't understand that. But this is what a nuclear bomb would be like.
And Dr. Stan, there is no indication. I mean, the Americans do not know how many people actually died as a result of Chernobyl. And they don't, even the ecological effects of that, for instance, they were producing like the strangest forms of deer and of catfish that you can imagine in the wake of Chernobyl. And, you're right, that's a good indication. As a matter of fact, so many people were sick and dying that Russia created a new city right outside of Chernobyl to take care of them. It wasn't very far from Kiev, but that, like I said, all you need to do is like meatpacking plants all use radiological material, and that stuff, I mean, I could go in and get.
Why would the meat plants use radioactive material?
Well, they use it somehow for treating the meat before it.
Are they radiating the meat then to try to cut back? To try to cut back on the bacterial content.
Right.
They've been actually working for a long time to justify radiating all of our meat. Well, I don't like that. They want to radiate all of our vegetables, but I don't. I've never been able to get. I haven't researched it, but somehow it just doesn't sound very good to me. Basically, this idea of the spinach is going to kill us and the eggs are going to kill us. A lot of this, of course, is to justify a new government program so that everything will be radiated. The people don't want it. They think it probably is potentially dangerous. It'll change the nutrition from the food. But the bureaucrats have decided to do it, and that is what really frightens me. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, Paul, I really didn't know that we were radiating the meat. It doesn't surprise me. I know they've wanted to do this for a long time.
Every large meat packing plant uses radiological material.
Isn't that interesting? Well, I learn something new every evening.
I mean, Google that up too. I mean, that is I was just thinking if I wanted to make a dirty nuke myself, how would I do it? And that's one of the first places I'd go.
Well, I was typing that in on my Google. Fortunately, my son has installed a computer here, so right in the middle of the program, I can always check all of these things. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Paul, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, are they still expanding the number of these terrorist training camps here in the United States? Do we have any idea? Are they still allowing these radical imams to go into our federal prisons and recruit people into this radical form of Islam and then reward the prisoners once they have converted to Islam?
Dr. Stan, it is incorrect. The prison in question, the first prison where this all began, where they started to train prisoners for the jihad, and then when they got out of prison, they went right to Islamburg or other training camps, was Greenhaven in New York. And at that prison, federal money, we can't do that. But there's a fully functional mosque, St. Croix, in Greenhaven, and in prisons throughout the country. And you got to realize that 90% of the converts to Islam are African Americans. 60% of them are converted in prison.
Well, that really is rather frightening. And of course, but I suppose within the prison system, why you want somebody to protect you, and you, of course, join the Muslim faith, they'll look after you, won't they?
Well, I've been in many. Once again, as a journalist, I've been in many penitentiaries and prisons. And if you end up in the prison system, you're going to find out that there's a group. Everybody's in a gang. Everybody has to belong to a gang. If you cannot be an independent, or you will really suffer. So during the first, you've got to realize the Muslims have their own food. They're a separate kitchen there. Several times a day, five times a day, they demand that they're released from any chores in order to go and pray for a full month, the month of Ramadan, which we are in right now. They are exempt from any work details, even making their own beds. And so, they're get your own food, better food, get protection, get all this time off. All you need to do is become a Muslim. So it's very enticing.
It certainly would be. Well, let's go to Nick, who's calling us from Carmel. Again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Nick, how are you doing?
Fine, Stan, how are you doing
tonight? I'm doing fine. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, the irradiation of the food has already always concerned me. And I've heard, again, about them irradiating the meat. Are they doing all the seafood, too?
Paul, do you know anything at all about that?
I don't know about that, but I do know that every major meat packing plant has an incredible amount of radiological activity and radiological material that they use constantly.
Well, I will tell you, I was just looking up on the internet, Nick, and basically the FDA has been studying this for 40 years. There's nothing to worry about. Oh, why, you can trust them. And boy, those words really frighten me more than anything. I'm not sure. Maybe you could look this up and become an expert on it. We could do a program. I think we ought to look into this. I had no idea. I've known that they've wanted to. I didn't realize they were doing it. But certainly looking on the internet, it looks like they are doing this now. But they're doing so many things that are harmful to our health. They say, oh, we're from the government. We want to make sure you don't get any bacteriological infection. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you cook your meat, you don't have to worry about bacteria. So do they have another agenda? Anyway, anything else you want to ask, Nick?
No, that's covers it. You know, I also, like Alex has been reporting, they're talking about putting lithium in the water now also.
Well, I'll tell you, that is really frightening to me because lithium affects the brain a bit, but it works just exactly like fluoride does, only fluoride, we know, it affects every aspect of the physiology of the human being, whether it reduces the sperm count, it reduces the fertility, it knocks about 10 points, 5 to 10 points off your IQ, it reduces certainly the various tension deficit disorders, it disrupts your endocrine system, it's carcinogenic, and those are the good things. Anything else, Nick?
No, I'll try and research that and see what I can come up on the seafood.
All right, fine, check on the meat, too. I'm amazed that, as Paul says, it's in all the major meat plants. God bless them. Thanks for calling.
God bless you. Take care.
Thank you. Well, certainly, Paul, we've got a lot of listeners here, even at this time of night. A lot of people that called, first couple of called this hour, are back, in the Eastern time zone, because I know that's where you are as well. But they listen every night, from 11 to 1, which, I'm just glad that they do it. Fortunately, here on the West Coast, the program's heard from 8 to 10, but Eastern time, it's pretty late. Well, if you're out there, though, we've got time for a couple of more calls, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And basically, Paul is talking about why do people join the Muslim faith when they're in prison. And, of course, I'm sure, you know, if you're a black man in America, many of them feel that they are discriminated against. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, I really believe they are. I believe that there really is a latent racism. It's not on the part of the average American, but I tell you, the elitists have done things that they know are going to suddenly create problems for the blacks. And I would point out that 1 in every 100 Americans is today in prison. 1 of every 100 adult Americans is in prison. 1 of every 33 adult Americans is in prison, probation, or parole. But of young black men from 21 to 31, why 1 in 3 is in prison, probation, or parole. And if I was a black man, I would very well feel that I was being put upon, and certainly a lot of it's drug-related crime, but of course a lot of them get into that, and they have a feeling they're either going to end up in prison, they're going to end up dead, and well, you might as well enjoy life as you can. And I really feel very sorry for the plight of the young black people in this country. What are your thoughts, Paul?
I feel the same way. I mean, this is what you got to realize, that people like Jelani, when they came over here in the 1970s, these Tablighi missionaries who came to spread real Islam, not the Nation of Islam, bring them to real Islam, realized that there was something in the black community that they could nurture, because there was so much racism and oppression and problems in the American society for them. So the Islamic missionaries who came here capitalized on that. That's the first place they went. They went to the inner cities, and they're still there. I've just came back from. There's a Teal Bondi movement that's spreading throughout the country. Half the mosque in England right now are Teal Bondi. Jelani, Sheikh Jelani, who we were speaking about earlier, was part of the Teal Bondi movement. They're also responsible for the Ummah movement throughout the United States. And once again, it's spreading right throughout the African-American community, because they know that they're more susceptible to the message.
Well, now, where does Farrakhan fit into this? Is he involved with this at all? Does he have his other form of radical Islam?
Completely different, because Farrakhan is part of the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam came about from a guy by the name of Timothy Drew in 1911. Their beliefs are really bizarre. For instance, they believe that they have their own version of the Quran, the seventh circle Quran, and Muhammad isn't mentioned. It all deals with like these crazy adventures of Jesus. Jesus going to India and Jesus going to Egypt. And then they believe the Muslims arrived here on a spaceship from Mars. And then they had a guy by the name of Fard. This is what Farrakhan is part of too, and Elijah Muhammad and Muhammad Ali for a while. This Fard, they believe, was the incarnation of Allah, and they worshipped him. And he disappeared, and they think he's coming back in a spaceship to transport them all back to Mars. Like, it's really a crazy religion. It has nothing to do with Islam.
Okay, fine. Well, of course, Louis Farrakhan's, I think, a very, very dangerous man. But all of these, of course, I think, to actually mislead the blacks and to give them something to believe in. Well, of course, the thing that they really need to believe in is the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they also have very real reasons for feeling put upon. And I will tell you, they put the majority of the abortion clinics in the black part of our community. They know that water fluoridation with hydrofluorosilicic acid will dramatically increase the level of lead in the blood of black children, not so much in white or Hispanic children, black children. This creates rage, including criminal activity. That's Roger Masters' work at Dartmouth. Most people have never heard of it, because you're not supposed to. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up our program. Well, Paul, we've got 3 more minutes, and then we'll let you get to bed.
How was it, Dr. Stewart? Ben, how'd we do?
You did great. You really did.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
A situation where we're going to reward people for hard work rather than reward them for not working at all, which is the problem we have today as we extend the unemployment benefits, certainly for people. And then, of course, we give the states money so they can keep all their employees working. But you can't do it indefinitely because it's all being done with borrowed money. Paul Williams, thanks so much for being with us. We'll look forward to probably talking to you sometime between now and October. If not, we'll look forward to meeting you there when you get out here for the program.
I'm looking very much forward to that, to getting out to Monterey and meeting with people and showing, giving them the net evidence that they have to see.
All right. God bless. We're looking forward to it as well. Thanks so very much. Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was Paul Williams, and I hope that you will be coming. Remember, the conference is on the 17th of October. It's all-day conference. You're going to need reservations because we're serving food. We're going to have lunch for you. And have people, I will tell you, that usually come back every year because they have such a good time. And so if you're in a position to come from all across America, we do have a block of rooms. They'll have them probably for another, about a week and a half. They'll be cutting those off about the 17th of September, and so you can get a special rate if you make your reservations now. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there and you listen to us and you agree that we're involved in the spiritual battle, the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization, that there really is organized evil out there, and that, of course, this is a battle between God and Satan. There are satanic organizations. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the book of Satanic Crimes and the four-tape set that goes with that. There are satanic organizations. David Berkowitz, the son of Sam Keller, was part of a satanic organization known as the Process Church of the Latter-day Judgment. And there were a number of other people that were involved in the killings, as well as he himself. Now, he's become a Christian, but the people in New York know about these other satanic groups, but they have ties to them, and they're not in any way going to go after them. Now, there's certain people in New York who wanted to go after the other members of these satanic groups, but, of course, they were not allowed to. We have a book called The Diary of a Devil Hunter, written by a gentleman who used to go around throughout the country talking to police groups about satanic crimes, satanic covens, and then the FBI would send their special representative out to assure everybody there is no satanic crime, there are no satanic covens, this is all hysteria. And why would the FBI doing that? Maybe for the same reason that they're not doing anything about the Islamic terrorist training camps in the United States, where people are being sent from here to Afghanistan to kill our soldiers and then being brought back here. But you're never going to hear about this or these Islamberg or these other groups. But go up on the Internet, look up Islamberg. Islamberg, of course, is in New York. And then, of course, we have the four-tape set on the supernatural. We have the book that goes with that, The Beautiful Side of Evil. We have the four-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, a Catholic Jesuit priest we got to know. And then the book he wrote, Hostage to the Devil. Hostage to the Devil. We on the lighter side, we have Corey Ten Boom's book, The Hiding Place. We have Erwin Lutzer's book, Hitler's Cross, and Erwin Lutzer's wonderful book, When a Nation Forgets God. They're all available from Radio Liberty. Go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can get a list of all the things that we have. We do have Sidney Paul's Williams' book, The Al-Qaeda Connection. We actually have, Sidney, the other information on these various subjects. We have, of course, the video, The Jihad in America. Our number, 1-800-5-4-4-8-9-2-7, our webpage, radioliberty.com.